This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, anyone know what channel the game's on?
We know. Download the Sports on What app today and always know how to watch the game. Satellite, cable, or streaming. Sports on What knows the channel the game is on, and you can too. Subscribe today to start your 7-day free trial. Sports on What. We know.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
And Stephen Thrill-Hill, could you please serve everyone on Profile This is played?
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth. And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Hello, Dave. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, liquor and whores.
Hola, liquor and whores to you, my friend. All right, you understand how this here game is played.
Yes, I do.
Fantastic. You have your choice of one of three stories. Today, we offer you interior decorating, where you guess the foreign object that ended up on the inside of someone. Hit me with your best shot, where you guess the unconventional object that someone chose to use as a weapon. And finally, animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Do a little interior decorating.
All right, we go to California, where a family rushed their Burmese mountain dog to the vet after they noticed that she was vomiting and had a firm, distended abdomen. Also, the otherwise rambunctious pup was lethargic. Now, the vet performed a quick exam and realized that the seven-month-old, that would be Luna, had swallowed something, as dogs do. But Luna immediately had surgery, a gastrectomy, to clear the dog's stomach
and an
enterotomy to clear her intestines. Oh. Now, luckily, the surgeries were a success, and Luna has made a full recovery. But the question is, what did the dog Luna have inside of her? Did Luna eat a onesie? Did Luna eat 24 socks? Did Luna eat a scrunchie? Or did Luna eat two hair ties? So we have a onesie, socks, a scrunchie, or hair ties.
What do you guys think?
I think this dog ate a bunch of socks, dude. Might have been eating them for a while.
24 socks.
24 of them caught up to her, though. Poor pup.
You're saying she ate more since those 24 that did her in?
I'm saying I think she might have been eating socks over a small period of time, somewhere around 20. It really affected her dog system.
I'm going to go with a scrunchie. Just because. I think it's something that could get stuck in the intestines.
Yeah, ridiculous as it sounds, I think I'm going to go with the onesie.
Onesie. You know what? I thought about that, too.
Okay. What did Luna, the seven-month-old, swallow there? A onesie, 24 socks, a scrunchie, or two hair ties? We'll find out next.
That was a tease.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Category is interior decorating on Profile This. We got a dog that was rushed to the vet after the seven-month-old swallowed a bunch of stuff in the home. Was it a onesie, 24 socks, a scrunchie, or two hair ties?
And Dave, that is the very question that we posed to you. I'll tell you what, Dave, we're going to start with you. You went with the onesie. That
onesie.
Sounds ridiculous.
They got a baby.
Oh, Dave, nice job.
Dad, you said socks.
Yeah.
You are correct.
24 socks.
Oh. You'll say 24 socks. Now, Miles, you said a scrunchie. Granted, it was two scrunchies. You said it seems like you're tangled up. Yeah, you are correct. And in addition to all of that,
two hair ties.
The dog also ate two hair ties. So, yes, the dog ate a onesie, 24 socks, a scrunchie, and two hair ties. There's no wrong answer.
That seems like a lot of clothes.
It is. Mm-hmm. Hence, no wrong answers.
Why do you have a seven-month-old dog if you have a person that's in a onesie?
Well, I mean, I'm fine getting a dog if you got a kid. The dogs usually like kids. Wouldn't expect the dog to eat the onesie.
No.
So I would be more apt to think that my kid would crawl over and eat dog food than my dog is going to eat that much of my stuff.
That is a good point. Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted. Bless you.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, the Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
Ah. All right, your choices today. You got the Jimmys.
Fallon and Kimmel.
Seth Meyers. Colbert.
Stephen.
Bill Maher. Weekend Update. Or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Late Night?
It is right though. The title. These guys have talented teams of writers. Hope they come up with their monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine. Is this an actual late night joke and from whom? Or could it be the Ted Smith original?
A former Canadian Olympic snowboarder has a $10 million bounty on his head now for selling and running a cocaine-dealing business. Proving gold medal or not, this guy knows fresh powder.
That's me.
Cocaine.
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
I gotta find a new connect.
Good north, my friend.
Scientists are trying to bring the woolly mammoth back to life by taking a first step to genetically engineering a woolly mouse. Now it's on to step two. Getting it drunk enough to have sex with an elephant.
I'll say Bill Maher.
SNL.
Scientists hoping to revive the extinct woolly mammoth have taken a first step by genetically engineering a long-haired woolly mouse. Now it's on to step two, getting it drunk enough to have sex with an elephant.
Someone must tell the guy who got arrested for a second time trying to have sex with a train seat. If you want to get off a train, just wait till the next stop.
Bill Maher.
Fallon.
That's Bill Maher.
Someone must tell the man who got arrested for a second time for trying to have sex with a train seat. If you want to get off a train, just wait till the next stop.
Amazon is using AI to dub movies into English from foreign languages like Spanish, Korean, and Sylvester Stallone.
Seth Meyers.
SNL.
We can update.
Amazon Prime has launched a new tool that will use AI to dub movies into English from foreign languages like Spanish, Korean, and Sylvester Stallone.
Third eye, we're talking to the office. Lady Gaga. Which, by the way, we've got to stop saying Lady Gaga.
Why?
Because, like, when I watched it, I kept, like, I expect to hear that now.
Well, we're the only people to say Lady Gaga. I just feel the classes are up.
I know. I think, well, either other people need to start saying it or we got to stop saying it.
Everyone, it's Lady Gaga.
I do the same thing with raccoon.
Right. I know. I've started doing that, too. I did that in front of my kids. Like, what? I'm like, a raccoon, dude. Never mind.
But she was pretty good. There were some good skits in there. And then also, to her credit, when she came out and did the monologue, she was very honest, and I thought it was, for somebody that doesn't do comedy, I thought her opening monologue was pretty good.
I'm so happy to be back at SNL. The last time I hosted was in 2013, and every aspect of my performance aged amazingly. There's no need to Google SNL 2013, Lady Gaga featuring R. Kelly. Anyway, I'm an actor now. Selecting films that would showcase my craft as a serious actor. Films such as Joker 2. Apparently people thought it was awesome. Joaquin and and I even got nominated for a Razzie, which is an award for the worst films of the year. So we won for worst on-screen duo. But joke's on them. I love winning things. I respect everyone here so much. So tonight, I promise to act, to sing, and to not do Joker 3.
Jesus.
She also did a good job in that monologue, right? Like, now, granted, Lady Gaga is only 38.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of new pop stars. And, like, some of them you could tell kind of took her way of going about it. Remember, Lady Gaga got really famous because she started in all these gay dance clubs.
Yeah.
Then her music got super popular. A lot of the music, if you like Southern rap from, like, the early 2000s and stuff, those guys would go to strip clubs and go, hey,
yeah,
play my record, and then hopefully the girls would like to dance to them. So going through the gay clubs, you could see it now with like, I can never say her name.
Chaperone.
You could see her influence on that. So again, she's only 38, but she was talking about, you know, pop stars, thinking pop stars are getting too old. And then she sat there and named pop stars. They obviously were fake ages. But Chaperone was like 70. She's 75. Like basically like, all right, I know I'm old for a pop star.
I like the new song Abracadabra. I think it's really good. Sounds like really old school Lady Gaga. It sounded like disco to me, but
yeah,
I like it.
Awesome
tune.
She always teeters on that line too. Plus, the thing is, credit to her and anybody that hosts and does a musical guest, because I don't think people realize like they're going through those skits so quickly.
Yeah,
you're running from one set to the other thing,
as
and then like
soon as you're done,
right? And like her second performance, man, there was a lot of like. They were, like, holding her up. She was doing a lot. I was like, how's she? I just an old man comment. So I was watching on Sunday afternoon. How's she not out of breath?
I wasn't that far away from that because, you know, she's very physical when she performs, I guess. But I just thought.
She's dancing.
Probably why she is a professional pop star.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what she does.
I saw her in Vegas. It was one of the best shows I saw while I was there. Well, that hands down.
That makes sense.
I mean, she just put on a wall-to-wall show and did not stop.
Man, I believe it. And one was the first musical performance she did, whichever song that was. Don't remember the title. Pretty cool song. But just the dancing that was in it. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I quit it to Bruno Mars. Closest thing.
I mean, I still got to say, and I don't. People will probably argue that he's not technically a pop star because maybe he bleeds into rock.
Okay.
And I think Michael backed me up, but we saw Rod Stewart, man.
Yeah.
Like, he just had so much damn energy and just, he just brought it.
He's
like
a pop star.
For like, he is, right. Like, it's like he just brought it for like 2 hours. You're just like, this is fun.
That's an old man.
Yeah.
He's 80 years old.
Damn.
Still having kids.
Yeah.
He's like Tony Randall, but can sing.
Mm-hmm.
The Hollywood Reporter put together a list of the 10 best baseball movies ever. Mm. Now, Miles.
How many star Kevin Costner?
A few of them. The problem is they left out some movies that to me should be on the list.
Is Bull Durham on there?
Of course it is.
Bull Durham is number 3 on the list.
All right. So I'm assuming Field of Dreams, and if we're in the Costner wheel.
Let's see. Field of Dreams, not on there.
Really?
Okay.
Wow, okay.
Which is kind of crazy, right?
Major League.
Again, all right, so Major League is the massive one they left out. People are like, how did you leave that out of there? So they start with number 10. You haven't seen this one. It's from 1990. It's a Japanese film.
All right.
It's called Boiling Point.
Oh, must be good.
All right. Right.
I mean, if it makes the list. I didn't
see. Yeah, but this list is kind of crazy. And then 1942, The Pride of the Yankees.
42. Okay, I've heard of that. But
you ever seen that movie?
No.
I think it's about the guy that, like, he's playing for the Yankees, and he kind of loses his mind.
Okay.
And it ends with him, like, screaming at fans and everything. I feel like my dad watched it once, and I was like, what is this? He's like, you don't know this story? Again, these are supposed to be the top 10 baseball movies of all time. From 2008, Sugar.
Never heard of it.
No.
I'm with you. Now, this one I know only because I'm a De Niro psycho. From 1973, Bang the Drum Slowly.
I know the name. I didn't even realize it was baseball.
It is about baseball.
I had no idea.
Huh.
You ever seen Brian's Song?
Yes.
Do you like crying like that?
Okay, so I'll never watch it.
That's what Bang the Drum Slowly is.
Okay. About the life of who? Do you remember? Is it like
who's the player
or something? Yeah, like is it?
You know what, Miles? I'm not positive if that one's a true story or not.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he's basically.
Well, that makes it easier if someone dies.
He's a catcher that's not doing that good, gets brought up to the majors. The main pitcher, again, I think it's the Yankees, is kind of giving him a hard time, whatever. He ends up getting cancer.
Oh, geez.
They become buddies. He gets more PT. Oh. It's a gut-wrenching story.
I will not watch that.
I remember renting that one at Blockbuster, and I remember the guy looking at me, because I'm like a teenager, and he's like, why do you want to watch, like, why? And I was like, I'm trying to watch, like, I like De Niro. I want to watch all his movies. And he was like, okay.
All right.
Here you go. Have fun with that one, son. You know, baseball movie. I mean, kind of, because it's ladies.
Oh, League of Their Own.
That was a great movie.
Loved that.
That was
one.
A great movie.
Kind of. Get the female folk out there.
Right, I got
game.
These ladies playing the baseball. Yeah. Not even fast pitch.
Get
huh?
some dirt in your skirt, ladies.
We tried to do broads with balls, but they said, no, don't do that.
10 best baseball movies of all time. Number 5, The Natural.
Sure.
Haven't seen it.
You never seen really? The Natural?
I know. I need to see it.
Oh, dude. I mean, it's a long one, but you should see it.
Nice.
It's pretty good, and it's classic. I don't know if I'm the old man, but you end up tearing up at the end of that one. Oh, Roy Hobbs. He's got the new bat. It's good stuff. Great movie. From 1957, Fear Strikes Out.
I'd never heard of it.
Man, it's another one of those crazy ones. Miles, you already mentioned this one. Bull Durham.
Yep.
Number That's 2 on the list.
Moneyball.
Yeah. Moneyball is number
it's
2.
It's a great one. I was wondering where it was going to be on this list when we were getting out there. I took a shot. Yeah, I really did enjoy Moneyball. My old man and I, we watched that one. You know, we had HBO back in the day, and every time it was on, we just watched it wherever it was at throughout.
Moneyball is great. I even read that book. My only issue that I've always contended with it is that they never won a title.
Right.
Right.
So it's like this crazy new way, and it's like, right, but you're still trying to win a title. Right, and in baseball, you know, Mike and I were talking about this earlier with all the NFL stuff going on. Like, the NFL is different because the bigger clubs have to give back to the smaller clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas baseball, look at the Dodgers. They pay a luxury tax, so they basically can go buy whoever they want.
Yeah, Yankees, Dodgers, right.
And then number 1 on the list, 8 Men Out.
I know the name.
That was about the Chicago White Sox team that threw the World Series.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Correct. Did they throw it?
For gambling, yeah.
They threw games, but did they throw the whole series?
They did.
All right. Mm-hmm.
They made it to the World Series, so they obviously didn't throw enough games to not get them out of the World Series.
Damn it, guys.
So, but when they got to the World Series, then they threw the games.
I thought they threw some games for
maybe
gamblers.
They did. Maybe
but
they
I
did.
For some reason, I thought they still won the title, but they got in trouble.
Maybe they did.
I think they called it the Black Sox.
I know they just
Black
got Sox busted, and they were like the first team ever to go through that whole Pete Rose thing, you know?
Mm. You're telling me correct. They threw games and still made it to the World Series.
Well, they were. I'm telling you, I think they threw games in the World in Series the World to help the betters, but still won the World Series.
Ah, okay.
The issue is there's some guys on that team that clearly were throwing games,
mm-hmm.
but then you have like Shoeless Joe Jackson and a couple of these other guys who, when you look at their stats, you're just like, you can't tell me that guy was throwing the series,
so
right?
So Shoeless Joe was in 2 of these movies.
What else was Shoeless Joe Jackson in?
Field of Dreams.
That's right.
He comes out of center field out of the corn.
But Field of Dreams isn't on the list.
Shoot.
Damn it, Miles.
Well, at least you got in one.
I think another baseball movie you'd have to have on this list is Sandlot.
Yeah.
Baseball movie?
How about the Bad News Bears? I'm serious. Just as iconic as it was.
It was, man. It was a good movie.
Yeah. They did not go to Japan as much, but the first one.
Well, how about this? I think we were talking about it last week. What I'm telling you is drama, comedy, baseball, the Queen of England.
Oh,
Naked Gun.
Naked Gun.
Yeah, that is. Technically, it's a baseball movie.
I mean, he's behind the plate there. Nielsen being the umpire.
And he's the umpire. It's Enrico Palazzo.
He moonwalks.
I mean, I get it. They went kind of the more serious ones.
That is a great movie.
But I'm with you. Like, I just, and I don't know anybody that likes baseball that doesn't quote Major League all the time.
Yes!
Yeah,
right? It's too high. It's a bit outside.
Just a bit outside, right.
Right? Where was he at? Like the whatever penal league. Right? Like
basically, the juvenile delinquent of the offseason.
Right? He was right. Like, how do you not put that in there?
Listen to the roar of the crowd as the team takes the field.
Right.
And Miles, you started with Field of Dreams. I don't know any grown man over 30 that doesn't watch that movie and love it and then maybe cry, but that doesn't make the list. I mean, the whole thing is about like
42.
How great baseball is. Yeah.
That was a great movie, too.
Yeah.
Tell you what, Hollywood Reporter, I got an old knuckle sandwich coming your way.
A knuckle sandwich?
And a box of Cracker Jacks.
Right. I'm just not too sure about their list there. Let's see. You got a lot of, like we were talking about, college hoops is amping up. You got some of the tournaments that have already started. think the West Coast Conference, they've started up. So, you know, Gonzaga, St. Mary's, those kind of teams. You'll have the bigger conferences starting their tournaments this week. You still got hockey. You got NBA stuff. Getting close to the regular season. But I'm going to go home and watch another Penguin.
What is the team that Gonzaga plays every single year in their conference? It's like that one team that always plays them, never beats them. But I can't not remember the name of them.
I feel like St. Mary's is
maybe
usually,
it is St. Mary's.
I think they're usually think pretty Mary's. Close, right? Yeah. The Gales. Pepperdine every once in a while shows up and they're like, hey, we're Pepperdine. We live in Southern California. they don't do that. I don't know why I said it like that. We live in Southern California. We're Pepperdine.
I do declare.
Thank you, Chad. We
love
appreciate
the baseball.
It. You're listening to The Men's Room.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
See what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. When you're on a plane for 10 hours to go nowhere, something really stinks. Meanwhile, a woman in Japan locks her naked hubby on a balcony. Not good in the Department of Marital Hijinks. Colorado man finally busted after robbing the same store 5 times. A man locks coworker in a steam chamber and is booked on multiple crimes. And a woman opens a can of kung fu on a robber, all while wearing heels. It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the head. Lines. Here's my car.
All right, our top story. We're going to Aurora, Colorado, where a young man has a favorite robbery target, apparently. He stands accused of holding up a local Shell station, but he didn't exactly make it difficult to catch him, you see. Officers were able to obtain several camera angle shots of the man thanks to the fact that he hit the same Shell station not just once, not twice, no, 5 times. And he was quickly tracked down and arrested.
Why would you keep going back to the exact same?
I don't know.
He didn't. He went to a 7-Eleven once.
About to say, he committed,
oh, all right, okay.
He committed six robberies, and 5 of those 6 was at the same doggone Shell station. Like, come on, man.
Here comes this guy again.
Get wise to you. In other news, a woman in Japan is facing charges for what she did to her common-law husband. The pair have been living together long enough for the government to consider them a couple, but like any couple, they had their issues. It was revealed that she had already assaulted the man with a knife before her recent arrest, leaving him with damage to his nose that took weeks to heal. But things came to a head recently when she was delivering some sort of punishment to the man by locking him outside on their balcony. Overnight. In 38-degree weather, while he was completely naked. Police got a call about an emergency situation in the house, finding him hypothermic on their floor, and they rushed him to the hospital. Unfortunately, he did succumb to his condition, and the woman is now facing charges, though she contends that she did nothing.
You locked him outside, right. He died of hypothermia.
Naked.
No.
Right. You did nothing. You're right. You did not let him back in.
Yes, you did not do what you could have done.
Right. God, he was in distress at your hand, and you did nothing about it.
I didn't do anything. I just locked him out in the cold naked. And then he died of hypothermia. That's nature's fault.
I don't get it.
All I did was pull the trigger. The bullet hit him in the forehead. I mean, hey, I didn't kill him. The bullet did.
How do you get there? I'm just going to lock him outside, butt-ass naked, in a freezing-ass cold outside, and just leave him there overnight. It was in Japan.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Right. A little bit more thought here. For more cruelty, we go to Kentucky. A man was fired from his job and arrested after antics in the workplace got a fellow employee hurt. The man and his victim were both working at the local Lando Frost, finding themselves in a massive rack washrooms that are used to sanitize trays used in the facility, with him making the ominous comment that it was big enough that someone could be closed inside. Why in the hell? When the victim showed some concern over the conversation, he slammed the door shut on his coworker, who was not able to open the door from the inside, and the machine was powered on. A wash cycle was initiated, which poured chemicals and steam reaching temperatures of 200 degrees into the room, causing significant injuries to the employee. She was able to hit the emergency shutoff inside before things got too out of hand, but did lose consciousness at one point. The other employee was arrested and fired from his position.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't... You know, and the company's trying to take a passive look at it because, you know, I'm sure he's claiming innocence in there to some degree, so they don't know if it's just, you know, a prank that just got out of hand, right, or whatever, right. It was. But it's like, this is steam that we're dealing with. This is steam and chemicals. You're old enough to where you understand that, okay, pranks are one thing. Hurting people is not a prank.
If you're qualified to have that job, then you should know.
Correct.
That'd be my main thing. Like, you have this job, so certainly you understand the dangers.
And
don't put a cat in the oven. I mean,
right.
Exactly. And even if it was a prank, okay, you're going to close her in the room, whatever it was. The prank is over the minute she's scared.
Yeah, and then, like, you let her back out.
Right, you did it. You spooked her for a second, then get her back out. Really, you're going to turn the damn thing on? Now, then again, no, that's alleged. That's alleged.
Alleged, yes.
Criminy. An Air India flight was forced to turn around 4 hours into its voyage for a crappy reason. We covered this earlier today. After taking off from Chicago bound for Delhi, they made it as far as Greenland when the decision was made to turn around and head back to Chicago because one by one, the toilets on the plane started clogging. In all, out of the 12 toilets that they had, 11 of them were rendered unusable, forcing their decision to turn back around.
So okay, don't fly Air India.
None of them worked.
Oh, doggone it, Miles. Side note, 12 bathrooms on a plane. Well done.
None of them work. You have one.
None of them work.
Right.
Take two. I got it. But again, I'm agreeing with what we were saying. They were over Greenland when they decided to turn around. Like, there is no airport between there and Chicago.
Reykjavik. Well, yeah, you could hit
Iceland. Well, that's Iceland.
Right.
Greenland doesn't really have an airport.
Which makes
they
sense.
Just okay. Kind of built one. There's like an old army base where you land.
Yeah, they've got none.
But I still just think if you're going to fly another 5 hours, just go over to Reykjavik or go to Dublin.
Exactly.
Like, just don't take me back.
Well, maybe they radioed Dublin. Now we're not interested in your poopy flight there. Go ahead, turn that plane back around.
Iceland, they don't play around. Like, what is it?
No,
you're not landing here.
Turn it back around.
Sorry.
But just in case those stories up to bad taste in your mouth.
Thankfully, there's good news.
A woman in England broke her new heels in impressive fashion. She was going to a local convenience store to buy some candy for her nieces when she noticed a hooded man walking in. Originally given the benefit of the doubt, but she overheard the interaction between the man and the clerk behind the counter, figuring out that the man was robbing the place. Springing into action, the woman deployed her martial arts training to subdue the robber and eventually send him fleeing the scene. She is a fifth-degree black belt, if I'm not mistaken, and she does Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
All right.
Yeah.
You messed up, brother.
Officers were able to finally catch up with the man, with the would-be robber, and arrest him, issuing a commendation to the woman for her bravery in the situation. She beat his ass.
Yeah, I bet she did, man.
Before sending him packing, man. I got a
little upset. She also said she had one of those heels since the beginning of COVID because there was no reason.
Right.
She's like breaking them out. Barely could walk.
Men's Room Sports are brought to you by the fine folks at Sports on What. It is official. Over the weekend, the Seahawks made a trade with Pittsburgh to send wide receiver DK Metcalf over to the Steelers, with the Seahawks receiving a second-round pick in the upcoming draft.
Yeah, thanks.
Also announced earlier today, the Seahawks have their answer at quarterback as they have reached a deal with former Minnesota Vikings quarterback Sam Darnold.
A lot of action over the weekend, dude.
Well, between Metcalf and Geno Smith, the team store's happy. What are you wearing now, huh?
What do we got now?
Come on down.
Sam Darnold. Okay.
Well,
he did well with Minnesota. Let's see what happens.
Are you overpaying for him? Yes. But like you said, it's $15 million less than Geno was asking. So basically, you make a lateral move and save money.
Exactly. As far as what you're going to watch tonight, you got NBA and college basketball on the night. Find out where to watch those games in one convenient location, the Sports on What app. As far as your weather, low chance of rain tonight, but it's going to be cloudy with a low of 41, and that'll open it up for a cloudy and 50-degree day tomorrow, with the rain expected to pick up tomorrow evening. It's on the way. That's it for your headlines with that, Mike Hawkinson.
Luck of the Irish tomorrow on Sit and Spin, the lovely Jolene's coming up next.
Yes, indeed, it's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best, and for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.